note that Jesus is speaking to two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Jesus has something to instruct to Martha and Mary, but this is not just for their instruction. The Lord has something to teach us today as well. So let us hear what the Lord wants to teach, not just Martha and Mary, but us here today. The Lord speaks through in and through His Word. So please join me in reading Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to be here today, to hear from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak in and through me. May it be your word, blessed by your spirit. Lord, help us to be not just those who hear the word, but also those who do the word. So thank you, Lord, accompany us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in Kansas, the last few weeks, we've been hit with many days of extreme heat. And I was talking to the Knowles. We stayed at their house last night. And I hear Oklahoma is having the same issue. Multiple days over 100 degrees, very, very hot days. And I want you to imagine with me that you are actually required to run a marathon on one of those hot days. That you had to go out on one of those days over 100 degrees, where it's so humid out that you can feel the weight of heat and heaviness upon you, and you have to go run a marathon. And so you attempt it, and somehow, by the grace of God, you get to the end, and you are utterly exhausted. You are so tired that your mouth is dry like a cotton ball. You can hardly bring your hand up. You're so tired. Your mind is hazy. You can't even think straight. Now, we have a category for this. We understand why someone would be that exhausted after a marathon on a very hot day. That makes sense to us. But you know what is not, we recognize should not be the case, cannot be the case, is that we cannot live on a day-to-day basis at that level of exhaustion. But here's the case. Many Christians, some maybe even in this room today, tragically operate at a spiritual level, at that level of exhaustion, day-to-day. For them, the Christian life has become burdensome, heavy, hard, exhausting. My friends, burnout is a real thing. Often can happen to those who seem most committed to the Lord's work. Some signs of burnout would be perpetual fatigue, haziness of mind, increased irritability, lack of motivation, even breakdown of health. So how is it that in the midst of the pressures of life, pressures of home, pressures of work, pressures of emergencies that pop up, all these pressures that press in on us, that we would be people who don't simply survive and make it through, but we actually flourish in the Christian life? The good news is God addresses that in our passage today. So let's hear what God has to say to us. His exhortation from this text today is that you would give Jesus your heart before your hands. Give Jesus your heart before your hands. Let's think about this. So biblically, when I speak of the heart, I'm not just I'm not talking about the physical beating heart here. Biblically, the heart refers to the inner man. It's the control center of one's life. And so if we were to start, how are we to give Jesus our heart before our hands? Well, first we start here. You need to guard your heart against what I'll call performance mode. To guard your heart against performance mode. And let's think about what I mean there. Note in verse 40 what was happening to Martha. Again, remember two sisters, Martha and Mary. Verse 40 it says this of Martha. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha was overwhelmed. She knew there was much ministry to do. And she was losing focus of who she was actually serving. Again, she was operating under this level of exhaustion. And by all counts, we know that Martha was a believer. And Jesus loved Martha very much. Martha was known for her hard work, for her service. Martha was known for her hospitality. If you were invited to Martha's house, you knew you were in for a treat. But here in the text, we see that there was something off in Martha's attitude. Something off in her attitude. She is there toiling to host Jesus and presumably his other disciples there in the house. And as she's doing this, she's toiling. She's saying, well, did we get all the dishes out? Is the bread going to stay warm? Is everyone enjoying themselves? There's going to be a lot of dishes to do. And I know my sister, she's not going to help. She's feeling that pull, that struggle. And Jesus then pinpoints the problem in Martha. And he says it in verse 41. You are worried and troubled about many things. And the Greek behind that worried and troubled phrase is literally means to be pulled and dragged away. So Martha is being pulled this way and that as she's trying to serve. And in that being pulled this way and that, there's no peace or joy of the soul in her service. She knew as a believer that she should be serving Jesus. So that's good. She should be doing that. But for her service had become a burdensome service. It's like the teacher who shows up to the first day of class with much hope and anticipation. And she can envision those students that will start to flourish in her classroom, will do so well. She loves teaching. She loves students. She can't wait for the year ahead. But then the year goes on. She has to spend hours upon hours late into the night grading those papers. She has to tell Johnny for the 101st time, sit down, Johnny. She has to go to those parent-teacher conferences where she is blamed for everything, even for Johnny. And so she gets to near the end of the school year. And what once used to be a delight and a love for teaching and her students has now just become a burden. And she's feeling exhausted. That joy and that love seem to be like a flickering flame about to be snuffed out. And you see, Martha comes to us knowing that deep down, yes, she loves Jesus. Yes, she loves others. Yes, she loves service. But boy, she also feels like that flame on the point of burnout. And then we see how this anxious heart of Martha gets expressed externally. She expresses this in murmuring to Jesus, complaining to Jesus about her situation. And let me just first here though, commend Martha for this much. In her situation, she does go to the one who can help. She does go to Jesus. She's not going to an idol who cannot hear or help. So we commend her for that. However, we note what she says, how she murmurs, and we don't commend her for this. So here in verse 40, her complaint to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I don't know if you catch what happened right there in Martha's statement. She first doubted the character of Jesus. Lord, do you not care? And then she subtly boasted in her own work. I am here serving all alone, doubting the character of Jesus, and then boasting in her own work. Something is off. But my friends, before we're so quick to point a finger at Martha, we are no different. We are no different when we lift up our works as if to murmur to God, God, I did my work, now where's yours? This is what I call performance mode. We come then to the Lord in our striving and laboring and toil, and then in the midst of this murmuring, we start to doubt the very character of God. Lord, do you not care that I do the dishes every night and take care of the kids while my spouse is lazy and just lies around? Lord, do you not care that I try to encourage this person and then they turn around and backstab me? Lord, do you not care that I've tried to serve you and then you let the sickness into my life? Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not love? Lord, are you not powerful? Lord, where are you? We are guilty of this. Let me be clear here, though. There indeed is a place in the Christian life for lament. In fact, we have a whole book, Lamentations, for it. There is a place in the Christian life to honestly cry out to God and to wonder, what is God doing in this situation? What's going on, God? We have many psalms. The psalmist is crying out to the Lord in despair. So there indeed is a place for a lament and an honest, raw crying out to God. But there is then there this line between that honest crying out to God and then a blaming and attacking God. And I think that's what Martha is stepping into and we ourselves are guilty of. Well, just as Martha is in this place of despair and doubt and an unwarranted questioning of Jesus, we see the grace of God. For Jesus does show that He responds and He does care about His saints in their troubles. Jesus gives this gentle rebuke to Martha with a tender repetition of her name, Martha. Martha, my saints, my friends, He knows your name. Alan, Jesus Christ. Bruce, Jesus knows your name. And He knows the cares and concerns of your heart. And as a loving Father, He will discipline you where you need it. But He'll do it ever so gently. And so, in the midst of that rebuke, that gentle rebuke, Martha is directed by Jesus to the better way. And He directs us to the better way. You hear it in verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, or that good portion. And so what is it that Jesus is directing us to? He's telling us to delight our heart in Him. Note how Mary is doing this, delighting her heart in Jesus. See her in verse 39. What is she doing in verse 39? It says that she sat at His feet, listening intently to each word. And to be at someone's feet is to take the position of a learner. So here in the midst of the hustle and bustle, the disciples and all the activity that's going on in the house, Mary is at the feet of Jesus, treasuring each word that Jesus has to say. And in doing so, in treasuring the word of Jesus, she is treasuring Jesus Himself. And this is an important point to make. We cannot separate someone's words from their character. We cannot separate someone's words from their character. What if I told you of a man who says, I love my wife, but I hate her words? You'd be like, what? That doesn't even make sense. And I agree, it doesn't make sense. You see, Jesus speaks of this. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words reveal our character. And so, when God's word reveals His character. His law reflects who He is. And so when the psalmist says, "Oh Lord, how I love Your law," that's sort of like shorthand to saying, "Oh, how I love the lawgiver who I see reflected in His law." The law, His word, reflecting God Himself. And so Mary, as she treasures the word of Jesus in her heart, she is basically saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus the lawgiver, Jesus the teacher, the good shepherd that's leading me in the right way." They're treasuring the word of Jesus. My friends, do you love God? Then love His word. Come to the word of God to know the God of the word. Delighting in His word is part of delighting in Him. You see Mary doing this. Mary spent time with Jesus, and likewise, saints, spend time with your Lord. Recognize this awesome privilege that the Lord of glory invites you into His presence. As a child coming upon your father's lap, you get to know Him and be with Him and fellowship with the Lord of glory. And how is it that we fellowship with Him? Part of it is being here on the Lord's Day, receiving the sacraments. And during the week, listening to His word, reading the word, meditating on the word. And as you go to the word, have a heart like Mary that you don't just glance through it, but when you read it, treasure. Treasure what the Lord says in His word. It's precious. This is precious, the word that He gives to us. And come to Him in prayer. Part of delighting in Him, spending time with Him. Come to Him in prayer. And come to Him in an honest prayer life. Share your most personal burdens with the Lord. I think this is one thing that particularly caused Mary to delight in Jesus. That she knew that she could be honest with her burdens with the Lord. You see, because this is the same Mary whose brother Lazarus died. And what did Jesus do when He heard of the news of Lazarus dying? Jesus wept. Mary knew the tenderness of Jesus already. And so she knew she could share the deepest, darkest, most intimate things of her heart with the Lord. And He would listen and be tender toward her. And I think actually the disciples got this message too. You see, right before our story here of the Martha and Mary, you could just look in your text and you'll see the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. See, what is the parable of the Good Samaritan essentially about? It's a call to service. Right? A call to love your neighbor as yourself. And then we have this narrative of Martha and Mary, and there's emphasis on Mary delighting in Jesus. So the disciples put this together. A call to service, the Good Samaritan, and then an example of one who delights in the Lord, and then they come right after, and you'll notice in the next chapter, what is it that the disciples are asking the Lord about? Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. You see, they knew the call of loving the neighbor. That's hard work, the service that they're called to. And so they learned the lesson that they need to delight in the Lord. How do they do that? Lord, teach us to pray. I want to commune with You. I want to know how to commune with You and delight in You. And then from there, to serve You. And maybe for some of us, this delighting in the Lord, of course we want to do this on a daily basis, coming to the Lord, but maybe the Lord's calling you to an extended season to be with Him. Spurgeon quipped that we have a lot of holidays in which we rest the body. We should have more holy days where we rest the soul. It was John Stott who was feeling the pressure of ministry. And there's a wiser, older pastor that recommended that once a month that he get away and just be with the Lord to refresh his soul in the Lord. And this is what the wiser pastor said to John Stott. In those times, getting away with the Lord, he said, "Stand back. Look ahead. Consider where you're going. Allow yourself to be drawn up into the mind and perspective of God. Try to see things as He sees them. So even if you can't mark one day of the month each month, set aside even a half a day. Be jealous. Guard that day. Mark it on your calendar and just say, this is time to spend with the Lord. To step back, to see things as He sees it. To meditate, to treasure that word, to pray, and just think about what the Lord has brought me and where He is taking me. And remember then, in all this, what is the aim of spending time in His word and prayer, spending time with the saints and fellowship in the Lord's day? What's the goal in all this? As I mentioned before, it's that we would delight ourselves in Him. May the Lord give that heart in the midst of the craziness of life and work and school and all the other pressures and tensions, that we would have that heart that delights in the Lord. May we have the heart of Paul, and we see it reflected in Mary. Paul says this in Philippians 3:8, I count everything else as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That is a heart that treasures Jesus, that's delighted in Him. Those are the words of a satisfied heart in God. And guess what? A satisfied heart then in the Lord can lead to hands ready to serve the Lord. And so then what the Lord calls us to, and you see it in verse 42, is that we would serve the Lord out of a full heart. So we're delighting in Him, and then in that we serve the Lord with our hands with a full heart. You see, Mary's abiding with Jesus, treasuring His words at His feet, did not indicate by any means that Mary was an idle lady. Actually, we learn in John 11 that this is the same Mary who anointed the feet of Jesus. She served Jesus in this way. And in the midst of all of the, you know, in that context of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus, the disciples were complaining, oh, she's wasting money, right? There are all these excuses. And in the midst of all those potential stressors and pressures, Mary simply delighted to serve Jesus, to anoint His feet. Because she had a heart already that was set and delighting in Him. She didn't care about all these other things and these complaints. She was just intent on serving Him. And so here's a good diagnostic for our heart that we see reflected in Mary. See, Mary delights in Him and then considers service to Him also delight. So for us, here's a diagnostic. Have you began to see service to the Lord as a burden rather than a delight? This is how we can check our hearts. You see, Martha's desire to serve God was commendable, but she began to view it as burdensome. And in 1 John 5:3, we're told that God's commandments are not burdensome. And we need to hear that because we forget it. If you have started to view service to the Lord as burdensome, His call to you is to repent of that. To have a change of mind, to stop viewing His law and His call to service as a burden. It's actually a privilege that the Lord gives you. So here's a heart check for all of us. And, you know, as I mentioned, the law itself is a reflection of Him. And His law is an avenue in which we get to show love to Him. It's like this, if my daughter came to me and said, Daddy, I love you. I say, honey, that's great. Now here's a way to show love to me. Go clean your room, please. See, that cleaning of her room is an avenue through which she can show love back to her father. And God has graciously given us His law, not as a burden, but He says, children, you love me. Fantastic. Here's a way to express that love back to me. Keep my commandments. Serve others. Love your neighbor, etc., etc. Here are avenues through which we show God, God, I love you. And I just want to demonstrate. What a privilege the Lord has given us. And is this then not how the gospel works? We find ourselves first beloved in the Lord, because of Christ washing away our sins, not by our works, and then out of that, we work. Right? That's how Ephesians 2 puts it. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. You are declared righteous by faith, not your own works. You are pleasing in His sight. He delights in you. You didn't work for that. But then verse 10 comes. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hear the reflection of the gospel. That you are in Christ, already pleasing to Him. And then He says, now go serve me, because I have already counted you my child. I have washed away your sins. Now go serve me. So saints, as you hit that wall of exhaustion in your busy service, preach again this gospel to yourself. God loves me, and He's pleased with me, because of the work of Christ. And I rest in that. And from there, I have the privilege to go serve Him and to show my love back to Him. It is, my friends, don't forget it, a joy, a privilege, and a delight to serve King Jesus. Life and ministry still will be hard, no doubt. You will still have the pressures. You will still have so many things that are wanting to distract you, just as Martha felt. But you do not have to be crushed under the burden of those things. In Christ, there is another way. Guard your heart. Cast those anxieties on the Lord. Delight your heart in Him. And then from there, serve Him with your hands. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this needed reminder to my own heart that serving You is not a burden. Your commandments are not burdensome. But You have called us into Your family to live for You. Thank You for the good works that You prepared before Him. Help us to walk in them with joy and delight in You. We love You, we praise You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. You would turn with me by way of response to Psalm 27, Selection B. 27, Selection B. And let me just read the first two stanzas. It's always good to sing with understanding, as we're instructed. And it says in stanza 4, that first line, 27B, I ask the Lord and seek this one thing to obtain, that in the Lord's house I may live and ever there remain. And then the next stanza, stanza 5. To gaze upon the Lord, His beauty to admire, and in His temple I would stay to ponder and inquire. So you just see this longing heart to seek the Lord, to gaze upon His beauty, to delight in the Lord. So let us stand, Psalm 27, Selection B.